yesterday. Jonathan has been doing some really in-depth research specifically on low pay in London, so I'm going to hand over to him and he'll take you through some of the findings.
Thanks very much, Sarah, and thanks very much, Joe. Thanks for inviting me. I'm Jonathan Hoffman. I'm an economist with the GLA, and I'm here today to talk about a recent paper we did entitled Low Pay in London, which is pretty much what this morning is about. I'll also talk about the London Living Wage, and obviously happy to take questions during the presentation or leave it to the discussion. All right, first of all, what is low pay? There's no agreed definition of low pay, which is a bit of a shame. Most of the data that we used in this paper come from the annual survey of hours and earnings, or ASH, an ONS series. Information collected from 1% of employee jobs in PAYE records, which is about 26,000 people in London. It doesn't include the self-employed, which is a problem because we know that an increasing proportion of self-employed are themselves on low pay. It's also done on a workplace, not a residence basis. In other words, it includes everybody who works in London, even if they come from outside London, but it doesn't include people who live in London and work outside London. Interestingly, ASH is also done on a longitudinal basis, so you can track persistence of low pay to a certain extent over time, and I'll talk about that as well. All right, as I said, there's no agreed definition of low pay. Looking at the various definitions that are around, there's the national minimum wage, £6.50, that's gone up to just recently. London Living Wage, £8.80, and we're going to be announcing the new London Living Wage in a couple of weeks' time. Should we use the lowest paid percent of all employees as the definition? Should we use the lowest paid percent of employees in any industry? There isn't any agreement on precisely what we should use. But in this study that we published at the GLA, it was very much in tandem with an inquiry that the London Assembly, the Economics Committee of the London Assembly, was doing on low pay. And I recommend the paper which they produced. It's on the Assembly website. It's a very good paper. And we took the London Assembly's, that committee's definition of low pay, which it was the 20th percentile of basic hourly earnings of all London workers. And for those who don't work in percentiles, I'll explain it. If you rank everybody according to what they earn, from the lowest paid on the left to the highest paid on the right, and take the point shown by the blue line, the dotted blue line, which indicates the bottom 20% of what people earn, that's the 20th percentile. And one in five people earn wages below that value. And we also, again, the London Assembly didn't want to look at young people who are perhaps in low pay because they're doing apprenticeships or trainees, so we took age 22 and over. We also took basic earnings, excluding bonus and overtime pay. Now, if we compare this to other standards of low pay for London, this chart shows that the top line shows the median pay for London workers, about £16 per hour in 2012. And then there's the OECD definition of poverty, which is two-thirds of median full-time pay. And then the definition we use, the 20th percentile, and then the Eurostat definition, 60% of median pay, the London Living Wage, and then the National Minimum Wage. So you can see quite a few, as I said, definitions of what low pay is. And the definition we use in the paper, the black line, does include quite a lot of people who are paid less. So it's a fairly broad definition that we used. And bear in mind that low pay and poverty are not the same thing. And I'll come on to talk about that later. All right, this looks at working patterns in London, shows how they've changed over time. There's been, as you can see, quite a fall in male full-time numbers working, numbers of men working full-time. Female full-time has been reasonably steady, female part-time reasonably steady, but look at that bottom line, male part-time. That's quite an important rise from 3.9% in 1997 to 6.5% in 2013, a near doubling of men in London working part-time. And this next chart looks at the definition that we've got of low pay, the 20th percentile of hourly earnings for London workers. And you can see male full-time above female full-time, and then the black line for all employees. Interestingly, the female part-time 20th percentile has been above the male part-time, and that's a feature of part-time working, which we can talk about later, is that for various reasons women working part-time tend to earn men more on average than men working part-time. And this next slide shows the extent of low pay in London, and as you can see, it is still quite large. 16% of employee men in London, 21% of employee women in London earned less than the London Living Wage in 2012, which was £8.30. So low pay, despite the London Living Wage, which is, I'll come on to talk about, is gaining in popularity, low pay is certainly still an issue. And why does low pay matter? Well, low pay and poverty are not the same thing, as I said, but they are increasingly related. There's a Joseph Rowntree Foundation study which reports that for the first time there are people in work make up a majority of those in poverty, and that hasn't happened before. 15 years ago, in-work poverty was only one-third of all poverty in Britain. But since then, the number of people in workless poverty has fallen by 3 million. The number in working poverty has risen by 1.6 million. So increasingly low pay is a poverty issue, although they're not the same thing. And this looks now at the study that we did on low pay in sectors. We looked at cleaning, hospitality and catering, retail and social care, all sectors where low pay has been an issue more than in other sectors. And then this shows the extent of low pay by sector. The cleaning sector has historically been on low pay. You can see that's right at the top. 80% of employee jobs in London in the cleaning sector are, on this 20 percentile definition, are low paid. And it's been tending to go up. Hospitality and catering, again, tending to go up. Both sectors are sectors where the living wage has made less inroads than in other sectors. Retail has been constant around between 50 and 60%. Again, a difficult area to penetrate with the living wage, and social care there, where about 40 to 50% of jobs low paid in London. Again, a difficult area to penetrate, although I'll come and talk about the London boroughs, which are now accredited living wage employers, where social care is paid above the living wage. And then that black line at the bottom shows all the other sectors. You can see a significantly lower proportion of people in low pay than in the low pay sectors. Now, as I said before, you can look at persistence of low pay with these ASH data, and we defined it as remaining in a low paid job in London in a specific industrial sector for at least 3 years in any 4 year periods, and we looked at 4 4 year periods. As I said, you can only go so far with the data. What do you do if people move location, if they become unemployed, if they drop out of the survey? Remember, this is a survey. It's limited as to what one can say about persistence, but one can say a little bit. And this shows persistence in low pay overall, and you can see the percentage of employees in the low-paid sectors on the left, around 12% were low pay for 3 years out of any 4 year period. All other sectors was much lower. So quite a difference in terms of persistence of low pay in these traditionally low-paid sectors. Of course, not all jobs in the low-paid sectors are low-paid. There are some that are not, but they are. They do tend to be low-paid sectors. Now, coming down to the individual low-paid sectors, looking at persistence, retail does tend to be more persistent in terms of low pay than the other sectors, around 13%. Cleaning as well, around 12%. Social care, hospitality, catering, around 8%, and all other sectors, around 4%. So, again, a lot lower in other sectors in terms of persistence in low pay. And this compares the number of people in low pay in the low-paid sectors for 1 year and the number of people for 3 years. And when I first did this analysis, I took quite a lot of encouragement from this slide because whereas 60% in these low-paid sectors are in low-pay but for at least 1 year, when you look at for at least 3 years, it drops down to about 10%. So there's lots of caveats here, but it would appear that the chances of getting out of low pay are quite high, even if you're in a low paid sector. Although one has to remember the caveats in the data, people dropping out, people moving. But I think even despite the caveats, It is reasonably encouraging that you can get out of persistent low pay, even in the low paid sectors. But there is an age problem, clearly. This looks at disparities on age rather than sector. The 22 to 29 age group on the left, again, this looks at the low-paid sectors, and you can see that the blue blocks are lower than the black blocks, which is the percent for all employees in the low-paid sectors. So young people tend not to be in persistently low pay, even in the low-paid sectors. But as you go up, 50 to 59, the light blue blocks much higher than the black line, 60 plus, the green blocks much higher than the black ones. So the older you get, the message seems to be that it's more difficult to get out of persistent low pay. I'll race on because we have time constraints, but further considerations. One reason for the rise in the link between low pay and poverty has been the rise in the number of employees on temporary contracts. Again, I was quite astonished when we did these numbers. 43%, at the time we wrote the paper, 43% of the growth in the number of employees in London over the 4 years had been in temporary contracts, and that's really quite a striking figure. And we know that 19% of people on permanent contracts in London are low paid on this definition, but 31.5% of people on temporary contracts are low paid, a big difference. And of course, Temporary contract people also tend to work fewer hours than permanent contract people. We get onto the zero pay, zero contract issue as well, zero hours contract. Around 7 to 8 hours less are worked by temporary workers than by permanent workers. So low hourly pay kind of compounds into low total pay for people on temporary contracts quite often. Alright, let's come on to the London Living Wage and happily, you know, we can talk more about this and the other speakers will do later on. We calculate, my area calculates the London Living Wage, and those of you who are interested can look at the documents on the website, but we basically look at two approaches. We take a basket of goods and price it, including housing in London specifically, transport in London specifically, and childcare, which as we know is really expensive in London compared to the rest of the country. So we calculate a basic living cost. We then take a selection of representative households in London and we say, what is the hourly wage that each of those households, weighted by the numbers in London, needs in order to get it to the 60% of median for that household type in London. So that's the income distribution approach. And for 2013, 745 for basic living costs, the basket, 790 for the income distribution. The average is 765, which we call the poverty threshold wage. And then we add 15% just as a sort of margin against unforeseen circumstances. And that gives us the living wage in London, £8.80. That, as I say, that's the basic living costs approach. The income distribution approach is what I've explained, and then 15% on the end. Now, the London Living Wage now includes over 400 employers. It's doubled over the past year. It benefits over 19,000 employees, and we're just calculating the figures at the moment, but that's now well above 20,000, I think. There are several London boroughs who are accredited. And Sarah from Croydon will talk about Croydon later. Croydon is on the road to accreditation as well. All right, what is the London Living Wage in comparison to other wages or other issues? Well, you can see it's gone up. The red line, the thick red line shows the London Living Wage has gone up by more than the CPI, gone up by more than the national minimum wage, the dotted red line and the dotted blue line show that on the right hand axis the value of the minimum wage and the value of the London Living Wage up to 2013. That's the URL of the paper if you're interested, and my details are there. So thanks very much. I'll pass on to Sarah.
Yeah, thank you very much, John. Yes, some quite hard-hitting figures.